don't mean to bust your bubble, but girls of the world ain't nothing but trouble. So next time a girl gives you the play, just remember my rhymes and get the hell away. Just last week when I was walking down the street, I observed this lovely lady that I wanted to meet. I walked up to her, I said hello. She said, hey, you're kinda cute. I said, yes, I know, but by the way, sweetheart, what's your name? She said, my friends like to call me Exotic Elaine. I said, my name is the Prince. And she said, why? I said, well, I don't know, I'm just a hell of a guy. But enough about me, yo, let's talk about you and all the wonderful things that you and I can do. I popped some cash in a little bit of time. I showed her some cash, then the girl was mine. I told her all the town, a wiser and diner.
The content of this program is for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivy of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the 2018 January-February issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached at www.kiwanisfoundation.org. We're going to continue with the Winter Olympics Guide to the Games. Keep your eye on Sarah Takanashi. Ski jumpers can travel more than the length of a football field in the air while only being about 15 feet above the ground. No woman flies farther or more gracefully than this 21-year-old from Japan. Jumpers get points for distance and style. Takanashi has won 4 world titles and should add Olympic gold to her trophy case. Evgenia Medvedeva. The 2-time defending women's figure skating world champ will be the favorite to win gold if the Russian chooses to compete as a neutral athlete. Olainar Jannardalen, the 43-year-old Norwegian biathlete, will try to add to his medal haul. He has 13, a Winter Games record. This story is hot. The games won't officially open until the Olympic flame is lit at the opening ceremony. The flame travels to Pyeongchang Olympic Stadium from Greece, where it was lit in October. For 101 days leading up to the game, it made its way through South Korea, where 7,500 people carried it in the relay. The torch used to carry the flame is 700 millimeters in length, representing the altitude of Pyeongchang, which is 700 meters above sea level. Meet Suho Rang. The white tiger is considered Korea's guardian animal, so it's natural that it should be the basis for the game's mascot. According to the Olympic website, Suho Rang not only has a challenging spirit and passion, but is also a trustworthy friend who protects the athletes, spectators, and all the participants of the Olympic Games. All that glitters. The medals awarded in Pyeongchang have an interesting texture. They were designed to resemble tree trunks, which symbolize the work Koreans have done in planning the games. A gold medal weighs 586 grams, but only 6 of those grams are gold. The rest is silver. The edges of the medals incorporate Hangul, the Korean alphabet. Page 40. Sports Illustrated predicts the future. Sports Illustrated successfully predicted the Astros' 2017 World Series win on a 2014 cover. We are determined to top them, even if it takes us the next 200 years. Here are some predictions of our predictions. LeBron James, picture of LeBron James here. L.A. Bron, the king will be a Laker. Well, you have to start somewhere. Later this year, we predict that LeBron James will take his talents to Venice Beach. Seems plausible. Then the next one, we have Will LeBron Leave the Lakers? Sports Illustrated for Kids, mark our words, your 2023 to 2025 World Series champs, Moncada and the White Sox are going all the way. 3 times in a row. 2020, after getting the LeBron pick right, we get cocky. Picking World Series 3 years out is impressive. Prophesying a dynasty 3 years out is better. And finally, the cover here of Sports Illustrated for Kids, our last print issue, LeBron out of retirement, clone quarterbacks coming. The Super Bowl will end at 11:46 p.m. Not sure versus, we're not picking a team. This should be prediction enough. 2025, in our last issue before becoming all digital, SI Kids decide to go out with a bang, guessing the exact minute that the Super Bowl will end. Unfortunately, we forgot to specify a time zone. First Hooligan issue, Sports Illustrated. She will win the U.S. Open in 20 years in a blue dress. We're pretty sure the dress will be blue. 2032, 14 years from now, all of our predictions are made by our robot intern, Buzzo. Using his computer mind, he makes forecasts more than 20 years into the future. Then we have a picture here of the Astros. Looks like it's Altuve. The Astros will not win the World Series this year. Might be the Yankees or the Dodgers, but don't quote us on that. 2049. After Buzzo joins the robot uprising of 2042 when the humans retaliate with the technological blackout, we're back to basics, paper pages, and simple prognostications. S-I-K. She did it. The dress was red, but still. Cyborg LeBron back to Cleveland? 2052. As Buzzo's outlandish picks begin to come true, we frantically try to rebuild his fried circuits. Meanwhile, Cyborg LeBron finally announces his return to Cleveland from L.A. And finally, 2205. The cover of Sports Illustrated, December 2205. For kids, we announce SBOTY, Sports Bot of the Year. Prediction time, Jupiter will go to the Milky Way Cup in 2007. Only 10,000. Also available in binary. 2205, nearly two centuries from the present day, SI Kids reaches its final form, an easily ingestible magazine pill. Consult a doctor if you become allergic to SI Kids. Let's play football. Hand off a great tradition to the next generation. Football teaches lessons that last a lifetime. Sign your kids up for an NFL flag or heads up program this season. PlayFootball.com. From the pages of Sports Illustrated, here it has a Spartan mascot on the back of Mr. Bridges. It's easy, Miles Bridges, for the Michigan State basketball team. It's easy being green. Whether he's going one-on-one with Sparty or discussing spirituality with his teammates, Bridges feels at home in East Lansing. Spartan existence. When a surefire lottery pick turned down millions to return to campus for another season, even his coach thought he was a weirdo. But Michigan State sophomore Miles Bridges, the Player of the Year favorite, had a simple reason for sticking around. He really likes being in college. Maybe Miles Bridges isn't as crazy as his mom thought. Maybe he isn't a weirdo like Tom Izzo says. Maybe returning to Michigan State for his sophomore year instead of being an NBA lottery pick was a normal and sensible decision. And we're the ones who are out of our minds. You're skeptical. Of course you are. You have come to see college basketball as a highway rest stop where the best players play 30 games, gas up, and buy Doritos on their way to the NBA. Bridges was tabbed as one and done before he even started his one. Kentucky coach John Calipari promised Bridges' brother that if Miles came to Lexington, he would be ready to leave after 1 year. Michigan State's Izzo had the same idea. I won't hold him back. But what if Bridges held himself back? What would people say? After the last game of his freshman season, a 90-70 NCAA tournament loss to Kansas, he sat in the locker room and thought about the decision he had already made. I knew I was staying, he says, but I knew the backlash was coming, people going after me. Why would you stay? He knew one of these people was his mother. Cynthia Bridges planned to retire from her job as a receptionist when he turned pro. She was about to have a second knee replacement. surgery, and she was going to have medical expenses. So when Miles called her and said he had decided to become that most dreaded word in college basketball, a sophomore, she was incredulous. Cynthia says she tried anything and everything to change her son's mind, but the battle was lost. Truth is, it was lost before he ever played a game at Michigan State. It was lost one night on campus shortly after Bridges arrived in East Lansing. He and freshman Josh Langford were hanging out with junior Lurals Tum-Tum Naren Jr., talking about spirituality and religion and the purpose of their existence from 8 p.m. until 2 a.m. Bridges started crying. He told them, "This is what I prayed for before I go to college, to have a spiritual connection with people and find people who really care about me. Maybe you want us to stop right here. Come on. Now, how naive can we be? This is college basketball. The best players leave. There must be more to this story. Maybe Bridges just isn't that good." Ah, but he is. Bridges is a 6'7" NBA slam dunk champion waiting to happen. Because of injuries to several Spartans, he played out of position at power forward last year, and he battled a left ankle injury. But he still scored an efficient 16.9 points and grabbed 8.3 rebounds per game. He probably would have been selected between 8th and 12th in a loaded draft, but in a typical year he would have gone in the top 5. Bridges' teammates had been telling their coach, "Miles is coming back." Before the season had ended, Bridges told Langford and Nairn he wanted to stay in school. Langford was surprised at first. He knows how the sport works. But Langford did not need to ask any follow-up questions. "If he says something, he means it," Langford says. "I never second-guessed it." Izzo didn't realize that Bridges, unlike most players considering a jump to the NBA, was not making a decision based on money or trophies. "Money's the root of all evil," says Bridges. "I'm not in it for the money." Bridges, Langford, and Naren had been gathering every night for a Bible study and to talk about God. Langford says, "All three of us cry. A lot. You just kind of get thankful about certain things." Bridges was thankful for his talks with Langford and Naren. He didn't want to leave them. Bridges was a choir boy as a child, and like many choir boys, he sometimes complained about getting dragged to church. In college, he started to see his faith as more than just a set of rules. He started putting other people ahead of himself, and it made him happier. Michigan State coaches say they have never had a superstar like him. He cried when his teammate Aaron Harris suffered a career-ending knee injury last February. He returns his coach's calls and texts quickly. He does not own a car. He walks everywhere, Naren says, explaining how his friend keeps things simple. He understands his purpose is bigger than basketball. "You have the ability to make somebody's day. I've never seen him turn down a picture, never seen him turn down an autograph. When your best player is humble, it helps your team to be like that." Well, maybe it will help you to know that for the longest time, Bridges was just like every other player eyeing the pros. His father, Ray, started talking about Miles' NBA career when Miles was in elementary school. It was all Miles wanted as a kid in Flint, Michigan. When his mom signed him up for T-ball, he sat in the outfield and played with the dirt. He tried karate but got bored. He played football briefly but wasn't interested. He was a pretty good student, but even then every essay was about basketball. His sister Tara, who was 9 years older, sat him down and tried to get him to write about something else, anything else. "How about squirrels, Miles?" He finally wrote a story about a fantasy land, for the ruler of the land was named King LeBron. Tara gave up. Miles grew tall and jumped absurdly high. And after his freshman season at Flint Southwestern Academy, he did what so many top players do these days. He left his hometown for a private school, Huntington Prep in West Virginia, one of those basketball factories that attracts talent from around the country. But it didn't feel exactly right to him. "People try to put all the top players together on the same team," Bridges says. "That just takes away the whole competitiveness of the game, the fun of it. It's the same way in the NBA right now. You should play high school ball where you came from instead of going somewhere to play." Before his senior year, Bridges asked his mom if he could move back home. Cynthia said no. She wanted him to finish what he started. Why was he so determined to go back? Miles says, the only thing I could think about was, how was I going to be able to come back and win a championship for Flint or Michigan? He wanted to strengthen his roots. Even now, when you ask him what he will do when he does make millions, he immediately mentions giving money to Flint's Boys and Girls Club and the people suffering from the city's water crisis. Says Bridges, I feel like that's my purpose in life. The city is what raised me. Maybe you should know, even after Bridges told Naren and Langford he was coming back, he did his due diligence. He contacted former Michigan State star Draymond Green, Gary Harris, and Denzel Valentine. None of them told him what to do. But Green stayed 4 years and has no regrets. Harris came back for his sophomore year and is glad he did. Valentine told Bridges he wished he could have had a fifth year at Michigan State. We should all remember that the next time we say a player's draft stock is so high that he has to go, no, he can go. He can also stay. He doesn't have to apologize for either. Bridges wants to play one more year for a coach who can't trade him and with teammates who go to class with him. He has refined his game, too, becoming a much more complete player now. Bridges says he wants to get a 4.0 GPA before he leaves, or at least a 3.5, which would land him on the dean's list. This won't help him get drafted into the NBA, and it won't earn him a degree in journalism, because everybody knows he is leaving after the season, for real this time. But he wants to make the dean's list because his grades were just okay last year, and he thinks he can do better. Izzo called him the night of the draft to see if he had any regrets. Bridges said he did not. This summer, Malik Monk, the 11th pick, bought his mother a new house and car. Bridges got himself a cat. He named it Calypso, after his favorite brand of lemonade. Now, maybe you think this won't last. Maybe you think Bridges will get rich and even more famous and he'll change. But that's even more reason Bridges should savor this time in his life. He has one chance to be 19 with 19-year-old dreams and 19-year-old values and 19-year-old friends. He knows that someday I'll have a family, bills to pay, my mom and my sister to take care of. Naren says the kid wanted to get better, but he also wanted to grow spiritually for when he goes into that world. Take the long view. He would rather have 2 years in college and 14 in the NBA than 1 year in college and 15 in the NBA. What's so weird about that? Cynthia gets it now. She wasn't as desperate for him to leave as she thought she was. She is a worrier, that's all. Every time Michigan State assistant Mike Garland calls her, she immediately asks, "Is Miles okay?" When he comes home to Flint, she worries he will fall in with the wrong crowd. After his first practice this season, she asked if his ankle felt all right. But now she realizes she would have worried about him in the NBA too, and for good reason. An agent who was recruiting Bridges told him that what NBA life was really like. Some players go home to families after games and others go out together. Teammates don't always like each other. They are fighting for the same jobs. It can be lonely. You've got to be mature going into this, the agent says. The next day, Miles called his mother, "I only have 4 pairs of underwear." If he couldn't keep track of his underwear, he probably wasn't ready for the rest of professional life. And soon after Miles announced his decision, Cynthia realized he was right. She retired anyway. She just has to hold on a few more months, and then he will turn pro and make the big money. In the meantime, Miles can focus on the dean's list and Bible study, and Calypso, and his friends, and the mid-range game he didn't have last year, but has now. Maybe he can win a national championship, too. Or maybe not. He will enjoy this season either way. The Spartans have a motto. It's not because you've got to, it's because you get to. Maybe everyone in the sport should adopt it. End zone. What's the call? Dangerous hitter. In a baseball game between the Cumberland Crawfish and the Dixon Devil Rays, Crawfish slugger Frank Rogers is batting with men on first and second. The pitcher throws a ball in the dirt, and it gets by Dixon, catcher Josh Parker. Badly fooled, Rogers swings wildly and hits Parker with his follow-through. Both runners advance on the wild pitch, But Parker complained that he couldn't pursue the ball because he was hit by Rogers' backswing. Are the runners allowed to advance? Do, 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 do. The answer? The runners are not allowed to advance. When the batter's swing makes unintentional contact with the catcher, the player is ruled a swing, not interference, but the ball is dead. Next, number two, unsynchronized swimming. Swimmer Claudia Garcia is about to race in the 200-meter butterfly. The starter says, "Take your marks," and Garcia bends and grabs the front of the block. Before the starting tone sounds, however, Garcia notices another swimmer flinch forward. This causes Garcia to reflexively jump in the pool before the race is started. She pleads that she only moved because her opponent did. Is Garcia disqualified? Answer, Garcia is disqualified. Swimmers are responsible for reacting to the starting signal, not each other. And finally, number three, rough landings. The Cole Harbor Hyenas are playing the Richmond Rats in a football game under NFL rules. With time expiring in that first half and the ball on Richmond's 30-yard line, the Hyenas try for a deep pass. Hyenas wide receiver Brian Sterling catches the ball in the end zone and takes three steps inbounds with possession before his momentum carries him out of bounds. Although he has possession of the ball while falling, when he hits the ground out of bounds, the ball pops loose. The call on the field is a touchdown, but the Rats challenge the play, claiming Sterling didn't maintain possession. You're the referee. What's the call? Do, 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 do. Answer, the pass is incomplete. Under NFL rules, even if the receiver catches the ball and takes multiple steps inbounds, he must maintain complete and continuous control of the ball until after his initial contact with the ground. Mystery Athlete. Clue 1. In February 2017, with a win at the Genesis Open, the mystery athlete became the top-ranked golfer in the world. He retained the number one spot through the end of the season, which was the best of the PGA Tour. He had 4 wins. Second clue. The mystery athlete won the United States Open in 2016 for his first major championship. Number 3, his younger brother, Austin, is the mystery athlete's caddy on the PGA Tour. Did you guess Dustin Johnson? PGA golfer? Exactly right. Trivia Challenge. The Astros and the Dodgers combined to hit 25 home runs during the 2017 World Series, the most of all time. 14 players, including Houston's Carlos Correa, on the right here, went yard. Which fall classic previously featured the most with 21? Was it A, the 1996 Yankees versus the Braves, B, 2015 Royals versus the Mets, or C, 2002 Angels versus the Giants? Answer? The 2002 Angels versus Giants. Now let's go to who's who in sports. We'll start at the top line. Shalane Flanagan, distance runner, United States. Her height is 5'5". Her weight is 113 pounds. She was born July 8, 1981 in Boulder, Colorado. Flanagan won the women's race at the 2017 New York City Marathon with a time of 2 hours 26 minutes and 53 seconds to become the first American to win since 1977. She crossed the finish line 61 seconds before the next competitor, three-time defending champion Mary Kentany of Kenya. In 2014, Flanagan ran the Boston Marathon faster than any American woman in the event's history, 2 hours, 22 minutes, and 2 seconds, 7th place. Her 14 Berlin Marathon time was the second fastest race by an American woman ever, 2 hours, 21 minutes, and 14 seconds, for 3rd place. Question: at which school did Flanagan win 2 NCAA cross-country championships? That school was the University of North Carolina. Next, we have Jalen Brunson, point guard, Villanova. His height is 6'3", his weight is 190 pounds. He was born August 31, 1996, in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Brunson led the Wildcats with 4.1 assists per game in 2016-2017 as a sophomore and was second in scoring, 14.7 points per game. He was named first-team All-Big East. In his first season at Villanova, Brunson started 39 of 40 games, made the Big East All-Freshman team, and helped the Wildcats win the 2016 NCAA Championship. A two-time Illinois Gatorade Player of the Year, Brunson was MVP of the 2015 Under-19 World Championship after helping Team USA win gold. Who is the coach of Villanova's men's basketball team? That would be Jay Wright. And finally, Kevin Byard, free safety, the Titans. His height is 5'11", his weight is 212 pounds. He was born August 17, 1993 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Through week 13 of the 2017 season, Byard's second in the NFL, he led the league with 6 interceptions and was averaging 16.7 yards per return. He also had 45 solo tackles. What city do the Titans come from? Answer: Nashville. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's programming is underwritten with support from the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. They can be reached at www.kiwanisfoundation.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138.
Just a hell of a guy, but enough about me, yo, let's talk about you and all the wonderful things that you and I can do. I popped some cash in a little bit of time. I showed some cash, then the girl was mine. I took her over town.